Hey guys, welcome back to Unpopular. There's a few things I'm going to discuss today. I'm actually going to get into this whole Taylor Lorenz versus Libs of TikTok thing, which I feel like I'm going to piss everyone off with that because I hate both Libs of TikTok and Taylor Lorenz. So yeah, everyone's going to hate me. But let's talk about some other stuff first. Garcelle's book, it did not make the New York Times bestseller list, which I knew that it wouldn't. I knew it was going to flop. Like, you just have to look at the cover of that book and you know that it's not a bestseller. Like, the book was called, what was it called? Love Me As I Am, which is like so random because it's like, well, who are you? What is this book about? I don't get it. Like, Love Me As I Am sounds like a dating self-help book, but then she's an actress with all this time in Hollywood. So you think, well, am I getting a book about your time in Hollywood or is this, what is this? Like, it's so confusing. The cover art's weird. It's like orange and I don't know. It just doesn't look like, it looks cheap. Like, it looks like you would find it in the bargain bin. Like, we've all been in these discount bookstores and the bin's full of them. Like, I bought a Tori Spelling book once, which was actually a best-selling book, unlike Garcelle's, but I bought that for like $2 in a bargain bin. And like, you could just picture Garcelle's book sitting in there. Like, and the photo on the cover art, it doesn't even give you the concept of the book. Like, the only people buying this book, a Garcelle stands, and it's like she doesn't have the fan base to turn up in droves to give you a New York Times bestseller. So of course it flopped. Now, I caught the promo tour that she did for the book. Every single interview was about Erika Jayne. All they did was ask about how Erika Jayne threw her book in the trash. Like, you would think that Garcelle, 30 plus years in the business, she had this wild marriage where her husband, who was a CAA agent, that's like the biggest agency in Hollywood, which makes me think, oh, was he getting you roles? Anyway, he cheated on her, and then she sent out an email to everyone at CAA, like, you know, my husband and his floozy, like, aired him out in front of everyone. That's juicy. She's worked with Jamie Foxx. She's worked with Lindsay Lohan. She was a Haitian immigrant. Like, she has a very rich and interesting life. And then all people care to ask her is about Erika Jayne and the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like, that's just a fact. No one cared about anything else to do with her except Erika Jayne and the Housewives. Now, all the delusional Housewives fans were like, Erika just promoted Garcelle's book for her when she threw it in the bin. I'm sure the sales have skyrocketed. Well, clearly they didn't. And you're so stupid to think that exposure equals engagement. Like, it does not. Like, nobody looks at Erika Jayne throwing the book in the trash and says, oh, now I really want to read Garcelle's book. They say, oh, now I really want to watch The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because I want to see the drama between Garcelle and Erika. So Erika promoted her own show, which is The Housewives of Beverly Hills. Erika basically promoted herself by throwing that book in the trash. And Garcelle continued to promote her because all Garcelle talked about was Erika Jayne in every single interview. So let's just keep it real about what happened there. Lisa Rinna has been throwing crazy shade at Garcelle on Instagram over this, and it's so fucking funny because, you know, Garcelle's book did not make the New York Times bestseller list. So Lisa Rinna was going on Instagram and she posted, she was posting all these books that were bestsellers as like a dig at Garcelle. And she went, she posted Erika's book, Pretty Mess. And she was like, my friend, the New York Times bestselling author, Erika Jayne. And then she posted all these other books, other authors. She posted Harry Hamlin's book. Also, as you know, Garcelle's show The Real got cancelled not long after she joined either. One of the co-hosts even said in an interview that, like, the show was flopping so bad that they were filming 3 episodes a day to try and, like, cut the budget down and to keep it on air. So all of you stupid Garcelle stans that are like, Garcelle doesn't need the housewife. She's bigger than all of them. Clearly she's not bigger than all of them if her talk show flopped and her book flopped. Like, everything's flopping. So stop overhyping her. She's not the girl that you think she is. Like, is she a nice lady outside of the show? I'm sure. She's beautiful, talented, all of that. But she's not the star that you were making her out to be. Like, she's not above everyone, and neither was Denise. If you do The Housewives of Beverly Hills, you are not above The Housewives of Beverly Hills. You go on that show because you need to be on that show. And we all know that Erika and Lisa Rinna carry the show, not Garcelle and Sutton, so that's a reality check. Meanwhile, Nene is suing Bravo for racism. I actually don't have that much to say on this because, like, we all know it's bogus. We know that Nene's completely insane. She's been trying to pull this racism card with Bravo for, I don't know how long now, a very long time, and no one has ever taken it seriously because it's absurd. Like, literally, even the woke people don't take Needy seriously on this one. Like, you can't even convince them. Like, the Ebony K. Williams fans aren't even buying this. Like, even Needy's Atlanta cast members have come out and they're like, no, we haven't experienced racism here, and Needy was not discriminated against. Like, fucking Candy, who has a great relationship with the network because she's, you know, professional, she came to them during BLM and she said, I need you to put on a special about BLM and black rights, and then they did it, and they put together a whole show, and Needy wasn't included. Like, why would you have negative Needy in that? So they had all these other people. They had, like, Bronwyn. Like, I can't believe fucking Bronwyn got her way onto that damn show. You know, Portia, because at that time she was using BLM for clout and to rehab her image, and Candy was on it, and other people. Everyone knows that this is, like, this isn't a thing. Go on Twitter. Black Twitter aren't supporting Needy. Go on the blogs. Like, literally no one supports her. This is all because Needy's impossible to work with and she got herself fired. And, you know, Bravo never gave her a spin-off for good reason. So she's been calling racism for, I don't know, what is it, 2 years now? 1 year? 1 or 2 years. It's been a long time. But then she changes her mind because she goes out saying there's racism and tweeting there's racism, and then she'll do an interview and she's like, oh, I would definitely come back, and, like, changes her tune. Like, it's bipolar type behavior, like very up and down and very childish. So it's a bit like when she feels like she's not getting her way, then she throws a tantrum, then she tries another approach of, like, being sweet again, and then when they ignore that, then she goes back to tantrum mode. Like, it's just, she needs help. Like, she was impossible to work with. She got herself fired. It is what it is. You know, Kim Zolciak and Candy got spin-offs, which Needy always hated, but that's because they had the content for it. Like, Kim has a whole big-ass family, a husband and, like, 20 kids, and, you know, Kim always stood out on Atlanta, and she left Atlanta quite early on. Like, I think she left in season 4 when the show was sort of at its peak, so I'm not surprised she was able to get her own show. And then Candy has always had, like, different types of shows. Like, she's got Candy in the Gang now, but she had the ski trip, she had a music one, she had where she went on tour with Escape because they reunited. So she always had really, like, fully fleshed out concepts for shows. Portia just left and got her own show because Portia had a lot going on. I mean, I'm no Portia fan, but I watched some of that show and there was a lot going on. Like, they had a lot of characters, they had a lot of drama, and, like, Needy barely had enough for the Housewives of Atlanta. Like, you think about Needy, you actually can't really even name her storylines. You only really remember her getting into arguments or having the confessionals. She was, like, the queen of confessionals. You know, literally, she had the funniest confessionals probably of anyone. Like, you can go back and, like, watch Needy clips and she's, like, funny as hell. But in terms of storyline and what was going on in her life, it was not that interesting. I've actually thought for years that Needy has narcissistic personality disorder or, like, something in that realm. Like, Needy, Teresa, and Lisa Vanderpump, something is not right with those three upstairs. You know, I don't know if they're all suffering from the same condition or if it's something different. Vicky Gunvalson too. I find that maybe, I'm trying to think who's the worst. I think Needy is probably, Needy or Teresa. I think Nini's probably the worst. Teresa's pretty bad too, though. And, you know, it's interesting, right, because the producer, Carlos King, he used to produce The Housewives of Atlanta. He's friends with Needy. He recently said that he was trying to patch things up between Needy and Andy. So she could have been on her way to getting back in with Bravo. You know, she threatened a lawsuit, but she hadn't filed one yet until recently. So you can still come back from that, I think. She is a legend at the network. She was on the path to, you know, fixing things, and then she goes and mounts this huge lawsuit, and now she's just burned her bridge with Bravo forever. Like, as if they're ever going to have her back after this, what she said about Andy, what she said about the network. Like, she called Andy a cokehead, didn't she? Like, a fucking racist cokehead or something. Like, too far. It's just interesting because it's like all of this is about her not, she can't cope with having her fame taken away. And we, you know, we saw her monstrous behavior the first time when she started getting big in Hollywood. You know, when she was on Glee and everything, she turned into a complete monster and she had the biggest ego ever. And then that kind of came crashing down. And now that you know, she burned, I don't know if she just wasn't talented enough to make it in Hollywood or what. She's had a lot of opportunities and none of them have lasted in the long term, with the exception of reality television, Housewives of Atlanta. And now that that's been taken away, she's completely spiraled. And it's like, if she just got her shit together and, you know, had a little class and humility, she could have returned to the network. Even if it wasn't to the Housewives of Atlanta, she easily could have got on Ultimate Girls Trip Season 3. She could have got some other Peacock spinoff. She probably could have done a show with Kim Zolciak. Like 10 years ago, back in the day, everyone knows this, that Kim and NeNe almost got a road trip show together and then they were fighting too much and it doesn't happen. But they could probably get that now on Peacock. She would have had a lot of opportunities and she's ruined all of it. It's very interesting and kind of crazy to see people that are so self-destructive that they will find ways to ruin anything good in their life. And I don't know how you fix that kind of person. Like, I've met people like that in real life, not many, because they're not that common, because it is there's something not right with them. Like I said, it's like an NPD or something of that nature. I think it's NPD, but you know, even when things are going well with them, it's just like, you know, tick, tick, boom. Like, you know that it's going to happen where they're going to, like, blow everything up because they just can't keep a good thing going because they're so self-destructive. You know, eventually their broken brain just takes over and they make a mess of everything. Do the dumbasses now understand, by the way, that, like, if someone says something's racist or sexist or whatever, like, it doesn't mean that it is? Like, do you get it now? Like, finally, after, like, years? Because I know you guys just, if someone said something, you just believed it instantly. Like, do you get it? Look at Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. That's like, you know, look at NeNe, but Amber Heard and Johnny Depp is the best example now with all of the believe all women kind of stuff that they peddled a few years ago. Like, oh my God. And the amount of preaching people did. You need to listen to their lived experience. Like, shut up. Whatever. How about I just use my brain and make a decision based off that? With Amber and Johnny, I'm not doing the deep dive on the case. Like, I mean, I'm reading the headlines and seeing posts on social media and everything. I'm not into the meat and potatoes of the case. I can't be bothered. I think they're both trash. Like, I'm not really team one or the other. Like, she's definitely worse. Don't get me wrong. She's the worst of the two. She's kind of like, she's reminding me of like Alicia Silverstone in, actually, I should say Alicia Silverstone. I think she gets upset when people mispronounce her name. Not that she's listening to my podcast, but she's reminding me of Alicia Silverstone in The Crush. Have you guys seen that movie? That movie would never get made now. Alicia, why am I giving her the grace of saying her name correctly when she doesn't even care? She was in all these really trashy movies in the 90s. Like, obviously she did Clueless, which was so iconic, but she did a bunch of like trash B movies around that period. She did one called The Crush, where would never get made now because it's so inappropriate. I think her character was about 14. She was like a hot 14-year-old Lolita type who tries to seduce this guy. She gets a crush on this older guy and she's totally like, she has heaps of sex appeal and stuff in the movie. It's so wrong, creepy. And, you know, obviously acting way older than any 14-year-old does. And then when he doesn't bite and he's not interested, she turns psycho and, you know, tries to destroy his life and kill his, you know, his wife or his girlfriend. She goes like total Fatal Attraction. So it's like she's the villain, even though she's actually a child in the movie. And then she did some other ones. She did one called The Babysitter, where, again, she was a high school student. I'm not sure how old she was. I believe she was like 14 in The Crush. I reckon in The Babysitter, maybe she was like 16. And she's just this hot babysitter that everyone wants to fuck. Like, she has like a high school boyfriend and then some other older guy, and then all of like the dads that she babysits for want to screw her, and it's this weird erotic thriller. Again, totally like they would not make these movies now, where you have an underage girl who is sort of, they make her as the predator, you know, like you wouldn't make that now, and like for good reason, obviously. And what's the other one? Oh, she did one called True Crime, where again, she was a high school student that was, I think she was a little bit older, maybe she was like 17 in this one, and she's obsessed with true crime, and then she starts working with a a cop, a male cop, which is Kevin Dillon. He's a cadet in the force, but I mean, still to be a cadet, you've got to train and everything. So he would have been in his 20s and she still would have been a teenager. And they start trying to solve a crime together. Of course, they have sex. So I wonder what she thinks. I wonder if you ask Alicia Silverstone now, hey, looking back, you did some like really, you did basically like 3, 4, 5 different movies where you were like a horny high school student that all these old guys wanted to bang. Like, do you look back on it now in with a different lens, or did you feel like, did it feel creepy when you're making them at the time? Anyway, very Amber Heard vibes, all of these Alicia Silverstone movie characters. But as bad as she is, like, I'm not feeling that sorry for Johnny Depp, really, overall. I feel like people are way too attached to one side or the other on this, too. Like, I actually follow a few Amber Heard stans on Twitter, which I did not realize, but there's still, like, Amber people out there that, you know, they'll post things where they're pulling up receipts that show, oh, look, Johnny Depp lied on this. This never happened. These text messages prove that he lied. And it's like, okay, sure, I'm sure he lied too. But, like, Amber's clearly not a good person. Like, she's a fucking psycho, like, bitch from hell. Come on. Johnny, he's a toxic mess too. Like, I only have so much compassion to give, okay? And my compassion tank, like, my love tank, Vicky's love tank, my compassion tank, it just doesn't really extend to a rich, you know, 60-year-old, like, junkie who was dumb enough to date an aspiring actress in her 20s. Like, it just doesn't. You know, my dad, God rest his soul, he was a serial dater of younger women, like Johnny Depp, and I always thought it was kind of pathetic. You know, like, I get that it works for some couples. That, you know, look, some young women are into it. A lot of young women do like older men for all various reasons, but there's also, like, this big portion of mature man babies, all right, these older men who are still, like, they just don't have their stuff together, whether it's financially or emotionally, and, like, they cannot handle a woman who is close to their own age. Like, they literally, they cannot handle a woman who has her shit together, who has life experience, and who has a better bullshit detector and can see through that because, you know, they've been around the block and they've probably been played before. So they know what to look out for. So then they do go for these younger women, and they find these younger women that they can manipulate and they can play daddy to, and it strokes their ego because they can feel like, oh, look, this hot young woman is into me and she thinks everything I say is so intelligent. Like, grow up, like, grow the fuck up. Please just date someone near your own age. Look, like, Johnny's fine. I'm not, like, a Johnny Depp hater, but it's like, just get it together. Like, get sober, find a woman that's more age appropriate. Like, she doesn't have to be 60, okay? I get you want someone younger. I get that you want someone hot, but, like, you can find a hot 40 something in Hollywood for sure. Like, there's plenty of attractive women there. I'm sure there are women there in their 40s that look that, like, they're a well-kept early 30s, and, you know, besides their looks, that, you know, there's probably some, like, anyway, is there any substantial women in Hollywood? Maybe there's not. Maybe it is only looks. But anyway, don't date any more 20-somethings. Like, yes, Amber Heard's, like, 36 now, but when they got together, she still would have been in her 20s, and it's just, and he would have been, like, 50. So stop. Like, it's embarrassing. Anyway, women can lie and be abusive. Who knew? People make up racism claims. Who knew? Oh my God. I know this is, like, shocking information for some of you, judging by, you know, some of the messages I got when I started the podcast. You would never think that people lie about things and say things are racist and sexist when they're not. Oh my God. It's also coming out that Blac Chyna, she was abusing Rob Kardashian. You know, I'm not, like, going through all the nitty gritty of the, like, Blac Chyna case. I just see the headlines and stuff, but I saw that she, like, pulled a gun on him and choked him with an iPhone cord. Yeah, it just shows how powerful sex is, doesn't it? Like, Blac Chyna and Amber Heard, they were so obviously, like, social climbing BPD bitches. Like, what man with half a brain would trust either of these women? But it's like, they're super fucking hot. Like, they're both babes, and they could just manipulate and then, like, abuse these successful men. Like, men will do anything when they're horny. It's such a mess. Like, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I don't even blame these awful women, because I'm like, the men are just too easy to take advantage of. Like, I'm yes queening Ashley Darby for taking Michael to the cleaners. Apparently, with their divorce settlement, she waited like the exact amount of time that he has to like give her half of everything or something. I'm like, yes, bitch, like take him to the cleaners, you know? Speaking of sex and mess, the Housewives of OC reunion, okay, it was fine, whatever. I watched it in the background while I was at work. One funny thing about it was that Shannon's dress went missing, and she had this whole thing of like, oh my God, I can't find my dress for the reunion. So they had to get her a different dress. They get her a different dress, and then she ended up the best dress one there, and everyone else looked absurd. Like, I don't know what the styling was, but anyway. And they played a clip of Emily and Shane. You guys know that I love Emily and Shane. And I didn't catch this during the season. Either I wasn't paying attention, or maybe they just played the whole clip at the reunion. But Emily was really, really drunk, and her and Shane like stumbled off, and they were kind of off camera, but they were still mic'd. And Shane was like, oh, you've had too much to drink. And she's like, oh, you're going to get laid tonight. Don't worry. Like, just, you know, oh, no, she's trying to go to the toilet. She needed to pee. And he's like, I don't want to watch you pee. And she's like, please, I've had too much to drink. Like, come in here, help me pee. And she's like, you'll get laid tonight. And he's like, can I do it in the butt? Can I have butt sex tonight? And she's like, yep, I think. And they actually played that. It's so embarrassing. It was interesting, though, because I think there's like a perception, especially when Emily and Shane first joined the show, because they met on, he was her boss, I think, and then they were just friends and they never slept together or anything. And then he kind of messaged her on Google chat one day and said, do you want to marry me? And she was like, I don't have anything else going on, sure. Which I always kind of loved that. I would do something like that, honestly. Like, I could see myself doing that, so I never thought it was that weird. But I think people always thought, oh, was she with him for his money, or do they not have sex? Because they sort of looked like they had a bad marriage at the start of the show. And now we see, I mean, they renewed their vows and they do seem to have a good marriage. And now we even know that they get freaky between the sheets. So, you know, clearly they're doing something right. But anyway, my point about this is one, I don't think women, I know she didn't do it on purpose because she got caught on the hot mic, but one, I don't think women should admit to having anal sex, you know, on public forums. Like, I'm not saying don't do it. Like, if you want to do it, go for your life. But I also feel like don't, like, and yes, you can admit it to your close friends, okay? By the way, this actually, what I want to talk about, it might get TMI. If the kids are in the car, I mean, I probably should have warned you this already. If the kids are in the car, ladies, like, turn the volume down, because I have some thoughts about anal sex. So, so turn it down. Yes, you can tell your best friend, tell your gay friend, tell your best girlfriends if you'd like, be open with them. But like, if you find yourself on television or at a, like a large group of people, like at a dinner party or something with people you don't know that well, don't broadcast that you have anal sex. Another thing, just not classy. Another thing is, I don't think women should ever give rim jobs to men. And the first time I found out that this was even a thing, that straight people, because I thought only gay people do that, and when I found out that straight people do it too, I was shocked. I'm like, women don't do that to men. And I found, like, oh my God, I remember this one time this girl told me that she did, and she was a booty call for this guy. And that's the thing, that's like a booty call. That's a degrading booty call kind of thing to do. Women should never be eating a man's ass, even if you want to. It is, and men shouldn't want a woman to, like, the only man that wants a girl to eat his ass is he's got, you know, he's hired an escort for the night, and that's what he's thinking of you. Like, you don't want, okay, maybe you get off on being treated like, you know, like a hoe or whatever, but I just don't think that women should do it. I don't think women should have to do it. I think, okay, you can do it once in your life if, I don't know, you're really drunk or something and things get a little crazy. Never again. You can do it once to tick it off the bucket list. Don't do it anymore. And my other thing about straight couples, my take on straight couples is that, women in general should not be giving head to a man more than, like, okay, he should be going down on you, okay? He should be chowing down on the tuna taco more than you are going down on him, okay? Oh, and by the way, men can eat eat a woman's ass, okay, that's fine, but women should not be eating man's ass. And the ratio of oral sex should be, he should be doing it more than you're doing it to him, period, okay? The only way that that can be flipped, where you're giving oral sex to the male more than he's giving it to you, is if you are in one of these, like, younger, older relationships and he has, like, a lot of, like, you're broke, right? You don't fucking have anything going for you. You're a broke bitch. You're working the perfume counter. He is a successful man with, like, money, and he's got it going on. And you being with this guy, this is a come up for you. So in that case, yes, like, you should be, you know, hey, he's not buying you dinner and, like, giving you this nice lifestyle for nothing. So in that case, you should. But if you're just, like, a normal couple and you're kind of on the same level, he should be going down on you more than you're going down on him, and you should not be eating his ass, and he should not want you to, because it's just, like, it's old-fashioned, but I just don't think women should need, I don't think women should have to eat ass. Like, I don't think they should be expected to. I don't think they should, okay, even if you want to, like, some things we want to do, but it's like, you just shouldn't do it. Like, just because you want to do it doesn't mean you should do it. So that's, like, my whole take on heterosexual dating. And I hope that the ladies listening take that with them. If you've been eating ass, ladies, stop it. Like, don't do it. Don't eat ass, and do not be giving out blowjobs without getting it in return. Like, he should be going down on you, like, a lot more, okay? Yeah. Men need to do that. It's sort of similar to, like, what I talked about the other week as well with, like, women don't propose either. Like, men need to propose to you. Men need to propose to you, and men need to go down on you, and you should not be proposing to men, and you should not be giving a, you should not be eating booty, okay? Just stop. Don't do it. Just leave the ass eating to the gays, okay? Look, it's not for you. It's not for you. It's just not. You know what I mean? Like, you, and you don't have to do that. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have as many choices of what we can do because, you know, we don't have as many choices. Like, you have options, so you don't need to go down this road, okay? It's the wrong road, as Portia said. Wrong road. Don't do it, girls. Speaking of assholes, Pete Buttigieg. So if you're on my Patreon, you would have heard my recent episode where I kind of, like, mentioned Pete. I basically talked again about how I have Pete Buttigieg derangement syndrome and how I wish harm on him and just all of these things. And I'm like, I wish I didn't feel this because it's such a negative emotion. Like, it's so, like, you know, I don't want to be one, like, one of those people, but I can't help it. So I try not to, like, engage with Pete Buttigieg stuff because it just, like, triggers me too much. Like, it's literally like libs how they were with Trump. I'm like that with Pete Buttigieg. And then I got all these comments going, oh, well, you know, I don't like Pete Buttigieg, but I didn't realize he was that bad. Like, what's so bad about him? Can you do an episode about Pete Buttigieg? Can you, like, go through all the things that are, like, wrong with him? I can't do a whole episode on Pete Buttigieg. Like, it, this is not a political pod. I mean, yeah, I dip into it sometimes, but it's not a political podcast. No one would care except for, like, five people on Patreon that requested it. No one wants to hear an hour thing breaking down Pete Buttigieg and why he's so awful. And a lot of it's not that juicy either, because a lot of it is just, like, kind of boring political stuff that it's on its own. Some things seem, oh yeah, well, that's kind of bad. Aren't all politicians like that? And then when you add it all up, I mean, the juiciest thing is probably the conspiracy theories about him being a CIA plant, which do have legs to it. That's not, it's not like QAnon lizard people stuff. There's actually, there's some substance to that one. Look, I was really, really invested in the Democratic primary last time. I've really pulled back from politics since then. I felt like I really peaked there. And, you know, when all my dreams and hopes were shattered and, you know, things ended up as they did, I was like, nah, not doing politics anymore. Fuck this. This is a joke. But I was following it very closely every single day, like the minutiae of everything. Like, and all the stuff about Pete Buttigieg, because I hated him so much. I was really following all the Pete Buttigieg news, and a lot of it didn't make the mainstream. And, you know, I was following, like, independent progressive journalists that were, like, going to South Bend where he was the mayor and, like, talking to people in the town and investigating things. And it was amazing how much didn't get covered by the national news media. I mean, the national news media, for the most part, is just like, he's gay and he's a mayor and he's sensible. so they did a good job. You know, it's actually, it was kind of alarming that so many people did message me, like, not aware of it, because I guess because I was aware of all the bad things about him, I sort of assume more people are, but I get it, because, like, it doesn't get wide coverage, and you had to be kind of, like, obsessed and... like getting all into it and stuff. So, I don't know, guys, he's the worst, okay? He's completely manufactured. Even as far as, like, yes, politicians, especially American politicians, are totally, you know, are totally corrupt and everything, but he's sort of like, he's on another level, and they're definitely priming him for president, so he will run. I expect him to run either 2024 or after that. 100%, it's one of those. Probably 2024, because I don't know who else they even have. The field is so dry. Yeah, even by corrupt politician standards and soulless, you know, empty suits standards, he's like fucking bad, and he's gonna get worse. His whole everything about his life and his career is geared towards this. Every decision that he makes, whether it's going to the military, that's for a photo op to add to your resume for when you run, so you can add veteran on there because it plays well. The kids, 100%, they adopted those, him and Chasten, they adopted those kids for PR. Well, Pete did, I think. I don't think Chasten did. I think Chasten wanted to be a father and probably is really enjoying it and loving it. And, you know, they have, their marriage is pretty bad, I'm convinced. You know, I think that when Chasten got with Mayor Pete, I think he liked it at first because, you know, Chasten is a straighty 180 nerd. He probably kind of enjoyed being married to the mayor of a small town. And even though, you know, Pete was doing dodgy things then, it was easy to sort of turn a blind eye. But now they're in, like, Pete's swimming in the swamp. Like, Pete is right in there, and he's on the fast track to, like, a presidential run, and he's swimming with the sharks, and Chasten's there, and I think Chasten was probably like, oh my god, like, what have I got myself into? This is a lot. There's been some, like, articles and things where, and this documentary that they did, just, like, little things, and you look into it, and you can see that, like, Chasten was a little out of his depth with this. I don't know if Chasten was aware that he had married a complete fucking sociopath either, but now he's got those kids, so I think that Chasten probably loves playing mummy homemaker and is quite content to distract himself raising the twins while, you know, Pete sells his soul to destroy America. So, you know, it is what it is. If you guys want to go and look up Pete, I wish there was like a one video that I could direct people to that just had like everything from start to finish of why Pete is so bad. I couldn't find one. It was all little things. And then if I like link people, it's sort of not that interesting on its own. Like I said, I'm sure at one point someone will on YouTube or something will make something that's, you know, concise about why he's the worst. But, yeah, it is what it is. Oh, I'm actually doing really well just speaking calmly about Pete. He usually sends me into a rage. I really worked on myself when it came to Mayor Pete, like even on Twitter when I see the weird, corny Pete stans. The Pete and Kamala stans are definitely the two worst on Twitter. And, like, when I see the Pete stans, I don't engage with them because, like, it'll raise my blood pressure. So, when they see the deranged, delusional tweets, I'm like, don't get down in that mud, you know, go outside, you know, play with Chunky. Let's do something positive. Let's not even acknowledge the Pete stans. And yeah, even though I know that they're pushing him for president and there's going to be a run at some point, I'm mentally preparing because that's when I have to see Pete all the time and all over the news, and I see people like supporting him, and I'm going to turn into one of those like triggered Trump people I'm going to turn into like, you know, how Deborah Messing was or Stephen King on Twitter when like Trump came out. That's going to be me with Pete. So I'm, you know, going to focus on my mental health until then to try and ease the level of Buttigieg derangement syndrome that I'm going to experience. Also, you guys have been so nice to me lately for months. I've been getting so many good reviews. Like, so many of you have been leaving me reviews. So many of you have signed up for the Patreon. Actually, I need to shout out the new Patreon people. JK, Becky, Madeline, Sarah, Christopher, Katie, Coco, Francisco. with an accent. Francisco, Caitlin, Teddy, Maureen, Valerie, I think that's where I'm up to. I never keep track of that. Oh my God, I got so nervous when I saw all these new people signing up to the Patreon. Because I'm always like, oh my God, sign up to my Patreon. And then like when a bunch of people did, I was like, oh my God, now I feel like pressure. Like they're going to hate me and they're going to cancel in a day. So then I got insecure. But everyone's been like really nice. So thank you. I only got one negative review. It was so stupid. I swear to God, honestly, the people that leave me negative reviews, like they're so fucking dumb. Like, so this person, okay, I'll tell you what they said. Most of his opinions aren't even genuinely his. LOL. Most of his opinions are genuinely his. LOL. Why is that funny? And it's not true. I can tell he goes out of his way to be different and edgy. I mean, okay, this, responding to that part, because I get this all the time, like they're not made up opinions and it's like, it's not that edgy. Like, it's not that edgy to be like, oh, I like Lisa Rinna on like a housewife show. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, we're not like reinventing the wheel. This isn't, I don't know, like I didn't attend like the Jewish conference and walk in dressed like Hitler. Like, it's not that edgy or like far out to be like, oh, I like some different housewives than you do on a reality show. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know why people are like, oh my God, I can't believe he likes Erika Jane. Oh, he must be making it up. Like, why can't you comprehend that I like Erika Jane and Lisa Rinna? I'm telling you right now, by the way, this person is an Erika Jane hater. I already know, because that's, they all stem from that. They're crazy. These people are crazy, okay? They're not well. Like, what do you want me to say? Oh my God, guys, Sutton saved Beverly Hills. Sutton saved Beverly Hills. Like, I'm only watching for her. Like, she is the queen, and oh my God, the Housewives of Salt Lake City. I have no words. I'm shaking. The Bravo gods, Andy, my messiah, he gave me the Housewives of Salt Lake City. It's the best. I wish Kamala Harris would like move to Australia and be like our prime minister. Like, I want to wear masks again. I'm wearing a mask now. I want to extend the vaccine mandate. So it didn't go far enough. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, what's the angle that I need to have where I'm not like making up? Like, you want me to say that I love Sutton? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's so stupid. Like, what is the opinion that I'm allowed to have where I'm not like having a fake unpopular opinion? Dumb fuck. What else did they say? I'm trying to be different and cool. I'm honestly not that cool. Like, I don't know. I'm not that cool. I listen to a bunch of like hipster podcasts and I'm like a fucking dork compared to them. So I don't know. Maybe I'm cool compared to, I won't mention their name. I won't mention certain people's names. We don't need to throw shade. He spends too much of his time complaining about other pods and Bravo accounts that are much more popular than his, and it usually hinges on jealousy. That's probably true. I mean, I do shade other podcasts all the time and other Bravo pods. I don't know if I'm jealous, but they're definitely more popular. Look, we know that my podcast is not, it's called Unpopular. It's just not that popular. Like, not that many people listen to it. I mean, the people that do listen are really good because so many of you sign up for the Patreon and you leave me good reviews and stuff. But it's just, and I've had some big guests, but it's just really, it doesn't rank that high. There's not that, it's not many downloads. Like, it's not that big. So, you know, I'm aware of that. And yeah, my show is better than a lot of bigger Bravo podcasts. Not all of them. Some of them are better than me, but some of them are not. Some of them fucking suck. Some of the really popular ones are so lame. They're so corny. They have the worst opinions. Yeah. Oh my God, Erika Jane, I can't watch Roni anymore. Ramona said something that's too offensive. Then meanwhile, then one day later, they're like doing a Roni rewatch from season one. Like, I'm sorry, they're just so annoying. The fan accounts are annoying. My God, I posted this on my Instagram the other day. Okay, if any of you guys are on like Housewives Twitter, don't you fucking hate when the fan accounts come out and they've seen a screener of like one of the, you know, the premiere like a week early, and they do like a humble brag about it? Oh, this cast brought glitz and glamour. It's the most cohesive it's ever been in years. Like, you guys are going to love it. To like show off that they saw the episode like early. It's like, oh my God, wow. like good for you, like golf claps. Is this like the peak of your life that you saw an episode of Housewives a few days fucking early? Like, I work in media. I got invited to the screening of, because I've left Sydney, so I couldn't attend. I got invited to a screening of Beverly Hills early. That's like a full catered party and everything. And like, when I did live in Sydney, I used to get invited to that stuff. And you go like a couple of times at first because the novelty is fun and you're like, this isn't even like that great. Like, I'd rather stay home than go to this just so I can watch fucking like Towie a week earlier. So everyone's so lame, and this stupid person that left me this review, such a dumbass. Oh, they said 1 out of 5. Wouldn't recommend. I'm glad they wouldn't recommend, because then I Googled their username. I always do that with the haters because I want to see, like, well, what are they like? You know what I mean? Like, what other shows do they support? And they're a fan of some podcast called Bravo While Black. No shade to Bravo While Black, but they wrote, thank y'all for being one of the only podcasters with a sense when it comes to the Will Chris Rock situation. And then I listened to Bravo While Black, and they were like, haven't your whiteys ever seen a pimp slap? Like, Will Smith didn't do anything wrong. You know, get with it. It's not like he beat his ass. So I'm really glad this person's not a fan of me, because obviously we disagree on many things. So I would never want this person to listen to my show anymore. I'm actually embarrassed that they even listen once. It's so embarrassing. Like, please never listen again. Don't even think about me, because I don't want like listeners like you, because you suck. For everyone else, thank you. Thanks for leaving me reviews. And yeah, keep spreading the pod and post it on Insta. Actually, that is one thing that you guys don't do, I will say. You kind of do everything. Like, you do sign up to the Patreon, you do leave me reviews and everything. But like, you need to post it on your IG and be like, listening to Unpopular, and like tag me. You guys never do that. So you need to start doing that, so I'll get more exposure, and putting it on Twitter as well. So yeah, that's that. All right, let me get into this fucking Libs of TikTok Taylor Lorenz thing now, okay? Okay, so the Washington Post journalist Taylor Lorenz, who I probably consider to be maybe like the worst person on the internet, has caused a shitstorm for quote-unquote doxing the Twitter account Libs of TikTok. If you don't know, Libs of TikTok is a hugely popular conservative Twitter account that kind of started off just posting cringy, like, social justice warrior videos and, like, gender goblins from TikTok. And then it shifted to become more of like an activist account that was focused on exposing alleged groomer teachers and gender ideology in the classroom. I'm actually going to go in on Libs of TikTok because I've actually had Libs of TikTok on my like topics list for months, because I have a lot of problems with this account and I've wanted to call them out for a lot of things. But I just want to give you like the background on Taylor Lorenz first, in case you don't know. I like to be thorough. So most of you probably already know Taylor, and you probably found her from around the time she exposed Claudia Oshry a few years ago, which is like really what skyrocketed her journalism career. So Claudia, she runs the popular meme account Girl With No Job. It has about 3 million followers. She has this really right-wing mother who is a political activist in the anti-Muslim space, I guess, Islamophobia, whatever you want to call it. And she and her sisters, like Claudia and her sisters, they're all influencers. They had kept that private. And then Taylor ran an entire hit piece in the Daily Beast about their family called "The Instagram Stars Hiding Their Famous Muslim-Hating Mum, Pamela Geller." This was not a newsworthy story, in my opinion, and in anyone's opinion that has half a fucking brain. Like, the Oshry sisters ran meme accounts and they had a pop culture podcast. Like, they weren't political whatsoever. They had clearly chosen not to publicize who their mother is. So nobody should be coming out and making a whole article about that. Of course, Taylor threw in some like old, you know, offensive tweets from Claudia's account from like years back. You know how I feel about offensive tweets. Don't care. It's like such a non-factor. And as a result of this article, the Oshry sisters were cancelled for around a year or so. Yes, they've come back, but they were cancelled for a while. They lost their podcast deal with Yahoo. They lost all these kind of business deals, a lot of money. They got so much hate and backlash and trolling, and that did include death threats towards both them and their mother. Now, let's be clear. Everyone gets death threats online. We know this. I have very little sympathy for journalists and media figures that come out, you know, crying and boohooing about it. Oh my God, I got death threats. Yeah, it's called the internet. But let's just put this into perspective, all right? Like, the Oshry sisters are Jewish, very Jewish, and their mother is an anti-Muslim activist. The article dropped in early 2018 when political tensions were, like, extremely high. Taylor absolutely put those girls at risk of violence, whether it was from some Antifa freak who was, like, hopped up on their kind of, like, Trump stuff or an Islamist, whatever. Like, this is very dangerous. You know, this is when you're talking about a religious ideology like Islam, and then you're connecting them to having the mother that they do, who I'm sure their mother probably has to travel with private security and the whole bit, and now you're exposing their daughters to this. Like, you don't know if some, you know, Muslim activist or whatever is going to come after the girls. And Taylor did this solely for her own, like, petty political grievances and to go viral and to advance her media career. Like, she doesn't really care that much about it. She just, like, wants to promote herself. And I watched it all go down in real time. And I remember seeing Taylor out on TV giving, like, interviews. She was doing the rounds in the press. She was, like, milking it on Twitter. I mean, what happened to journalists staying behind the story? You know what I mean? Like, the story's supposed to speak for itself. It's not meant to be about you who wrote it, but of course she was using it as a platform to make herself famous, and she was totally taking pleasure in it. I still remember it, like, clear as day, and how disgusted I was by how much she had enjoyed what she did to the Oshry girls. And I didn't even, like, know who they, like, those, I didn't follow Girl With No Job or anything, and I just thought, this bitch is, like, sick for this. You know, and it wasn't unbiased reporting that was in the interest of the general public at all. It was just self-serving, mean girl, cancel culture shit. And yeah, she wanted to destroy someone else to raise her own profile. Now, this is Taylor's bread and butter in terms of her career. Like, another one of her early viral articles was about the YouTuber Mr. Beast. He is known for doing all of these cash giveaways. He calls himself a philanthropist. In 2018, around the same time period as the Claudia Oshry article, Taylor did a piece on Mr. Beast, and it was about his, quote, history of homophobic comments. Now, the article was literally a few tweets from years ago when he was a teenager calling his friend a fag on Twitter. That was it. A whole ass article about this. And yes, we know that teenage boys call each other gay and fag and everything when they're in the locker room. Like, teenage boys talk like that. Teenage boys say a lot of stupid shit. But she felt like that was newsworthy. From there, of course, she ended up at the New York Times. and then she was covering, like, TikTok and influencer culture. It later became known that she was actually contacting underage TikTok kids and influencers. She was contacting them behind their parents' back, and then she would sort of manipulate them for stories. Keep in mind, she's like 35, if not older at this point, contacting, you know, 15-year-olds, trying to get them to rat on other TikTokers for one of her stupid stories. Very manipulative kind of behavior. She has a lot of unethical journalistic practices. A lot. I'm not going to get into all of them because it would take too long. It would be too boring. Last year, this guy on YouTube called The Content Cop, if you look it up, Content Cop, Taylor Lorenz, he did this amazing, like, 80-minute long video detailing all of this. I covered it on my pod at the time. It kind of flopped. I didn't get much of a response from you guys for it. And then afterwards, I realized, you know, I get it. Like, I thought it would get her canceled when I watched it because it was so bad and it painted her as such a shoddy journalist. But it was way too inside baseball for people. Like, it was very much like, if you don't work in the media industry or journalism, you know, an 80-minute video on the particulars of the industry, it's just not going to click with the average person. So me, like, I'm really into all this stuff. So I watched and I was like, wow, she's so bad, but I get the average person is not that interested in it. Like, the stuff that gets people is, like, a 30-second TikTok of someone drunk screaming the N-word. Like, that gets people fired up. But people, realistically, like, they don't want to sit down for 80 minutes of, you know, Taylor Lorenz strategically canceling people to advance her own career and cutting corners of ethical journalistic practices. But there is a lot there. There's a woman that is suing her because Taylor canceled this woman that ran like an influencer talent agency. And now more has come out that that agency was a rival of CAA where Taylor is signed. And then a lot of the talent at this other woman's agency ended up having to go over to CAA. And then people were like, well, did Taylor do this as kind of like a hit piece to like help her agency? And she didn't, by the way, in her article, she never even disclosed that where she was signed, that she had a conflict of interest. There's a lot to it. She's a fucking scumbag. And she gets a lot of backlash online, deservedly so, because her articles are heinous. The way she does journalism is heinous. Everything's disgusting. So she spent years trying to steer the public narrative to one of her being this like, oh my God, I'm a poor female journalist and I get doxxed and harassed by these right-wing trolls. Like, she does an Amber Heard number on people and plays the victim and has her tears come out. And it's just like, oh my God, like that's, I already hated her, but then when she started doing that and crying about it, I was like, I cannot believe this woman. Like, it's incredible to see. She went on MSNBC. She was literally crying, tears coming, streaming down her face. I'm a victim of harassment. Tucker Carlson bullies me, the whole bit. She does all this with like a straight face too. Like, so it's like you launched your whole career doxing people, harassing people on your huge public platform, canceling people, and then you cry about when anyone criticizes you. Like, it's amazing. She even goes as far as to basically say that you shouldn't be allowed to criticize her, that you can't even say her name. Like, she's this bad. She said she was left with PTSD from being trolled. She was suicidal. This is actually one of her quotes, right? She said this while crying. You feel like any little piece of information that gets out on you will be used by the worst people on the internet to destroy your life. You mean like you do to like literally everyone that you did to Claudia Oshry, you did to fucking like every single person you write a story about, this is what you do. So it's like, you get why people hate her so much. Terrible person, terrible journalist, enormous hypocrite. And, you know, I actually thought for a long time that what she did was kind of cold-blooded and calculated, and that when she came out and played the victim, she knew what she was doing and manipulating people. But I actually think she believes her own bullshit. And I think there's something wrong with her. I have met someone in Australian media that has a lot of similar traits, and they are 1,000%. They have a screw loose. They would be diagnosed with a personality disorder if they went in for an assessment, and I think the same about Taylor. Anyway, long-winded intro, but whatever. So Taylor's latest target is libs of TikTok, okay? So Taylor ran this big piece in the Washington Post that exposed libs of TikTok's name and identity. So, you know, doxed libs of TikTok. The story was called Meet the Woman Behind Libs of TikTok Secretly Fueling the Rights Outrage Machine. And it sparked this huge firestorm on social media because people are asking, was this ethical to do? Was this newsworthy? Isn't Taylor Lorenz this huge hypocrite because she says that she shouldn't be doxxed or exposed online, but then she does an article exposing someone else. Meanwhile, she cries and says that everyone's harassing her. And, you know, this article, of course, is going to incite harassment to libs of TikTok. It's also going to make libs of TikTok much more famous, which it has. But anyway, guess what? I'm actually on Taylor's side on this one. Yes, I am. the article was newsworthy. Taylor was right to expose libs of TikTok's identity. So let me give you my history with libs of TikTok first. I was one of this account's early fans. I think I discovered it last year at some point. It really became one of my fave Twitter accounts because I just love watching those cringy social justice, like gender goblin videos. They're so funny. You guys might remember, might have been last year now, I did a segment on one of my pod episodes about how I got down the rabbit hole of DID TikTok. That was where you had people who have like diagnosed themselves as having dissociative identity disorder, which they do not have. They make it up. And they think that they have like 100 people living inside them. And then they change into different characters throughout the day because they have all this terminology about how I'm a system and I have all of these alters inside me, and then a different alter is fronting, and now I'm, so yeah, it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. It's crazy. I probably found that through libs of TikTok. She probably posted a DID person, and then I looked up their account, and then I got in the rabbit hole, and it's just so funny. You know, I really enjoyed the account. I like watching these videos. I like watching videos of Karen screaming at the manager, you know, and in the parking lot. all of it. It's fun to watch when you're procrastinating and you're scrolling on your phone in bed. And after a while, libs of TikTok started getting more and more popular, and their content shifted to focus more on like gender bending teachers, trans ideology in the classrooms, and groomers. And the tone of the account definitely changed. It took on more of an activist identity, and the woman started to see herself as a political activist who was saving children across America. And influential accounts would come and say, libs of TikTok is doing the most important journalism in America, and she would retweet it, and she was really feeling herself. And then she started doing media appearances. I remember she went on Tucker Carlson. That was the first one that she did. She didn't use her identity. She just like called in. So you could hear her voice, and it was, you know, the anonymous woman behind libs of TikTok, and she was treated like a hero. She seemed to think of herself as one. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, lady, like, you know, I like the account, the content is fun, but all you do is repost TikTok videos with like snarky conservative commentary. Like, you don't cure cancer. And her ego just continued to grow with the size of the account. And then I started to look at her as like this power crazed Facebook moderator. Like, you know, those Karens on Facebook, and they run Facebook groups, and they act like tyrants in there because it's like all they have going on in their life, and they take it way too seriously, and they just, you know, behave like little fucking dictators. Libs of TikTok was giving me Facebook Karen energy. So as her account became more influential and she saw herself as an activist, the post became like way more politically motivated, and often without a valid critique, because some of the stuff she would say in there absolutely is valid to bring up about, you know, these weird gender people in the classrooms and stuff. I totally get it. But I would see her post like a video of some cringy blue-haired, you know, non-binary person. Libs of TikTok would post it with a comment about how this person's, you know, destroying society and the worst thing about the country, and this person is the worst ever, and it would be filled with like 500 hateful replies from all of the followers of this account. And it's like, this person didn't do anything wrong except be cringe. So at this point, you're just hating on them for being like trans or looking weird or whatever the fuck they are. Like, who knows with these people? So let me give you an example of what I mean. So like, take Lizzo, all right? You can come out and you can say, I think Lizzo has a negative impact on society because she tells people that being morbidly obese is healthy, and as a result, you've got all these people out here that are totally obese, and you know, it's having a harmful effect on society what she's doing, pushing this, like, you know, fake health, really. And then you can debate that and you can figure out, is it true? Is Lizzo just for body positivity and confidence, or is Lizzo normalizing obese bodies and you know, creating more obesity and becoming a drain on the healthcare system? All of that, there's a lot you can talk about. But if you just post a photo of Lizzo looking fat, and the intent is just to laugh at her because she is fat, and you're implying that she's a bad person just because she's fat, like, then you're just a bully. Like, there's nothing to it. It's just like, ha ha, she's fat. And that's what libs of TikTok started doing, and primarily towards people that are LGBTQ, whatever. So I do find her homophobic, and I do think she's transphobic. And, you know, you guys know me. You guys know that I don't throw these terms out. You guys know I don't get easily offended, and I'm not offended by libs of TikTok's account. And I do think that she posts queer people as well that do seem to, like, it is worth highlighting some of these things for sure. Like, some of the stuff they say, I'm like, oh, wow, this is pretty radical and pretty gross, and I wouldn't want this person teaching my kids. Like, I get that part of it, but then there is this other part of it where you're just laughing at people for being, like, queer, basically, or having politics. Like, some of the politics as well that she posts, they're not even, like, some of them just sound like normal progressive politics, that it's kind of like good policy, and then she acts like it's something so horrific, and it's like, this is like pretty straightforward that I feel like most people, if you didn't put this like negative spin on it, a lot of people would agree with this. So there's a lot of toxicity on there, and she does highlight real stuff. And yeah, it is important to expose some of this gender ideology in the classroom. Absolutely. Like, and some of the teachers that do push this, they do have groomer vibes and behavior, and it should be exposed. But like, libs of TikTok just puts everyone in the same basket. So you could have a queer, you know, teacher who is actually a good teacher, And then because libs of TikTok found some cringy pronoun video that they put on TikTok, now the teacher's been swept up in this like moral panic about tranny pedophiles trying to screw your kids, and now they're going to have an army of right-wing trolls come after them online and then maybe call their school to have them fired. And, like, this has happened to people. Like, libs of TikTok is so powerful that they have largely been credited, which I've been seeing over the last, you know, few days of all the media coverage, they've been credited for the, you know, don't, quote-unquote, don't say gay bill that's going around. Like, that's how influential they are. So when you are wielding that much power to the point that you are influencing, like, political legislation, and you're getting people cancelled for their online posts, getting people fired, yes, you should have your identity out there. Like, are you kidding me? 100%. And, like, people are being willfully ignorant on this because it's like, you know, they like libs of TikTok and they hate Taylor Lorenz. So they're just, like, ignoring certain parts of this and being totally biased. And, like, I get it. But even, like, libs of TikTok is doing high-profile media interviews. So you can't go on Tucker Carlson and other right-wing places and have an influence on political legislation, get people fired, and then expect to just be completely anonymous. Like, people need to know who the fuck you are. Like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Imagine if Taylor Lorenz was doing the journalism that she does completely anonymously. Imagine if Taylor Lorenz is getting people fired and calling things out. She should be exposed too. So, you know, and I've just seen people on the left and the right, like, defending libs of TikTok, going, you know, she's a private citizen and all she did was repost public videos that are already out there. No, she didn't. That's not all she does. She adds commentary to them, for one. Everything has a clear political agenda. She has all this influence. Anybody that gets featured on libs of TikTok gets harassed. Like, trust me, the amount of times I've seen a, you know, cringy video that libs of TikTok has posted, and then I've seen the URL and I've gone over to the person's page because I want to see their other cringy videos that they're posting, and the page has had to go on, like, private or disable comments or just disable their page altogether because everyone's coming over to, like, harass them from, you know, for that's come over from libs of TikTok. And maybe some of the harassment's justified, you know, depending on the video. Because some of the videos libs of TikTok post, they are pretty gnarly, and you just think, oh my, this person's horrific, like, this person's awful. But, like, not everyone on there deserves to be trolled and to have to, you know, be run off the internet. And, you know, some people deserve criticism. Taylor Lorenz deserves criticism. You know, I don't have sympathy for Taylor Lorenz when she comes out crying and stuff, but I don't know. My point is, libs of TikTok just has so much power, and there needs to be a face and a name behind libs of TikTok. You cannot be doing what you're doing as libs of TikTok and be completely anonymous and not be able to be held accountable for anything. She's also profiting off of the account financially. She's making a lot of money. She's actually spun this whole thing into launching, you know, a Substack or some kind of subscription model. So I know she's already got thousands of subscribers from it. I saw she posted something about it. So she's making bank. Also, the account is, it is a Republican propaganda account, if we're being honest. That's all it is. I'm sure she has Republicans and high-profile people that are connected to the Republican Party sending her content and, like, funding her. Like, that's how those things work on both sides. And, you know, look, I say that as someone who, if I was American right now, I would, if you asked me right now, who would you vote for? I would say I'm voting Republican. So, you know, I would still vote for, at this point, last time I would have voted for a Dem, not Biden, but I would have, you know, during the primary, I was very excited about a lot of the Democratic candidates that were going against Trump. At this point, I would be voting Republican. But it's still a fucking, that account is a Republican propaganda account. It needs to be, you need to know who's behind it and when they're having that much of an impact. And, you know, it doesn't change, this doesn't change the fact that Taylor Lorenz is a huge fucking hypocrite and a piece of shit. Like, we know this, like, nothing will change that. Of course, if, you know, this was flipped and someone did this to Taylor, she would be crying. She would be on MSNBC going, I'm suicidal because I was doxxed. Like, she'd be playing the victim, the whole thing. But she was in a right to expose this, hypocrisy aside. And you know what? I should say, too, because we all know this is true. If the account was called Conservatives of Facebook and not Libs of TikTok, and it was directing hate towards, like, Trump supporters and Republicans, this account would be lauded by the mainstream media, okay? The women on The View would be praising it. Time magazine, everyone would be going, oh, it's the account that's changing the world. And they would be saying, you shouldn't expose this account because, you know, Trump supporters are so dangerous that, you know, this person needs to be protected from them. Like, of course, we know there's double standards, all right? It's all double standards. It's all bullshit. We know that libs get away with so much more than conservatives get away with. But, like, this story was newsworthy. It's probably the closest thing to real journalism that Taylor Lorenz has ever done in a whole fucking life. Oh, and, you know, Libs of TikTok actually is doing a bit of the Taylor Lorenz approach by playing a victim, because right before the article dropped, she was online going, you know, Taylor's harassing my family, she's doxing my family, because Taylor door-knocked some of Libs of TikTok's, you know, relatives. That's not harassment, that's journalism. Sorry, I think people have forgotten, like, what journalism is. Like, that's old-school journalism. Like, back in the day, you would go and door knock people because you want to speak to people directly about a story. It's newsworthy to find out the identity behind Libs of TikTok. So, yes, she's going to go and door knock some people. Okay. Nowadays, journalism is a blue checkmark fucking psycho on Twitter who is writing a whole piece based off of your tweets. Okay. Like, Taylor knocking on your door, you answering and saying, either not answering the door or answering the door and going, no comment, please leave my home. If you don't, I will call the police. That's not harassment, okay? It's just a fucking interaction between two people. Like, give me a fucking break, harassment. I wish people could just put their bias aside on this and just admit it. Like, I don't know if people are just being biased, or maybe they don't have the full story. Maybe they haven't watched all of Libs of TikTok's content, so they don't fully get it. Like, even Glenn Greenwald, who I usually agree with on a lot, is like, I love Glenn Greenwald. He was defending Libs of TikTok really hard, and I've just felt like he had his blinders on because he hates Taylor Lorenz. He's clashed with her. He wrote an amazing piece on his Substack about her. It was so good. I think he called what she did whore monitor journalism, which is so true. It's like Glenn Greenwald made his name working with, like, Edward Snowden to expose global surveillance programs, and Taylor Lorenz is writing about Mr. Beast's tweets. Like, you know, you are not the same. And she's doing it so she can get a promotion at work, whereas Glenn Greenwald's doing it for, like, you know, the greater good. Anyway, with all that said, look, I don't want to downplay all the dangers of the gender ideology in the classroom, just in life, honestly. Like, overall, like, it's gone so far now, it's so crazy. Like, I'm with you guys on it, trust me. I don't think it should be taught. I don't think it has any place in schools. I think it's just toxic nonsense. I think it has a negative effect on kids. I think kids should be taught, like, you know, math, science, English, and just other, like, practical life skills. Like, I wish I had been taught about how to, like, do my taxes and how to budget money better and things like that. I never learned any of that. There's so much you could be teaching kids to better prepare them for life instead of, like, made up nonsense about pronouns and non-binary and stuff. Like, and kids should be taught sex ed. Like, I am for that. I'm not one of those. I remember in school, the religious kids weren't allowed to hear about sex ed, so they would have to go into another room, and I kind of felt bad for them. But when you're being taught this stuff in school, it should be, like, you know, biological, about, you know, puberty and what to do when you get your period, like, stuff like that. It shouldn't be, oh my God, if you don't feel like a boy or a girl, you may need to go on hormone blockers. Like, that stuff's fucking insane. And I've had conversations with my friends where we've said, hey, we have a kid, like, we're sending our kid to fucking the strictest Catholic school that we can find in the area to avoid as much of this gender stuff as we can. Like, I would not want my kid learning about this stuff. I would be concerned. You know, if I had a kid going into school, I would be, look, you know, I don't know how much of this stuff is really happening everywhere and how much gets blown up, because things do get blown up and exaggerated online. Maybe it's not as bad as I think, but I know that if I had a kid, I would literally be, like, asking parents at that school, like, okay, what are they teaching? Like, what are they saying in these classrooms? What are they saying about this gender stuff? Like, what politics is going on in the classroom? Like, I would totally be concerned, and I'll be doing, you know, my research in that. And I am becoming more against this stuff, like, personally, as time goes on, because, like, I am seeing all this gender stuff as this weird political ideology that is having, like, a really, like, toxic effect on so much. It is sort of like a form of liberalism, and, like, the worst kind of liberalism, especially, you know, the non-binary stuff is is kind of the worst. You know, we're seeing things like Leah Thomas and all of this absurdity. And we should push back on it where we can, and we should stop placating these people and acting like this is a real thing. I'm not saying you need to be an asshole to people, but also, like, we don't have to play along. we don't have to play along. It's stupid. But I'm not down this moral... I'm not down with the moral panic either that's, like, framing every, you know, social justice queer person as, like, a pedophile groomer. Like, that's not true. Like, there was a time when people thought that gay men were all pedophiles, you know. Some people still think that. I've read the Daily Wire comment section. People still believe that. I used to read the Daily Wire, like, 5 years ago, and I remember... one of the reasons that I stopped, well, they made some comments that I really thought were like a bunch of like Michael Knowles and Ben Shapiro and stuff made comments that I thought were really, yeah, they did seem really homophobic to me and things that I just totally didn't agree with. There was one segment about not using birth control. We shouldn't use birth control that I was really against because I'm like, okay, well, I get if you don't agree with abortions, because I know the whole argument of, like, abortions, murder, etc., but I'm like, don't go and tell people not to use contraception either and then say that they can't get an abortion. You know, I think we should be doing everything that we can to prevent, you know, unwanted pregnancies, which is safe sex. And there was another thing where, like, Ben Shapiro was outraged on Roseanne because the boy on the show had dressed in girls' clothes. And, like, I did that as a kid, you know. My mom, she didn't, I wouldn't say she encouraged it or discouraged it. You know, I did it and it was really just a kid playing dress up. And then I grew out of it and I was gay anyway. So, you know, I don't think doing those things and being a kid and sometimes exploring gender as a kid necessarily means anything negative. So I didn't like that. And then that's just light stuff. Like when I would look at the comment section on any LGBT kind of article on like Daily Wire, it was like full blown, like homophobic stuff and how it's of the devil. And so, you know, that thought is still out there with people. And now with the political polarization that's going on, you know, I do worry that people are going to go to like such extremes where they're going to start to believe, not everyone, but there's going to be a segment of people who are going to, you know, start believing that like every queer person is secretly some pervert or some nut job. And an account like Libs of TikTok does contribute to that school of thought. And like, you know, I know cool, normal trans people and non-binary people, like not a lot, because there's actually not that many of them, despite what we see on the internet. I don't think there's that many of them in real life. I mean, I was in Sydney before, which is pretty progressive, and I never saw that many of them, but they do exist and not all of them are crazy. And I hate the Libs of TikTok mentality now that it's just every rainbow flag wearing drag queen is like trying to fuck your kids. Like they're not. Like also, what happened to Live and Let Live? You know, you may not agree with it or you might think that it's weird, but you can just like move on with your day and not be like outraged because someone has a rainbow flag. And by the way, we should say Libs of TikTok trying to get teachers fired all the time is lib behavior. That's libtard behavior. That's what fucking libs do, okay? Libs will argue the same thing. They'll go, oh, you voted for Trump, so you must be a hateful bigot, and that means that you're dangerous, so I need to cancel you and have you fired, and you shouldn't have your job. Like, Libs of TikTok has that same mentality, and she's so drunk on power now that she can't tell the difference between who's a threat and who isn't. Like, she just sees every single gender goblin the same way. So yeah, I think it's a dangerous account. I think Taylor Lorenz is a scumbag. I don't like either of them. I'm glad that Libs of TikTok has been exposed. Also, even if you're still a super fan of Libs of TikTok, I would be, you know, crying for them over this article. It's made them more famous than ever. They've gained, I think, about 300,000 Twitter followers in the last week or so. They've opened up a subscription, so they're making heaps of fucking money now. She'll probably start doing public appearances. Fuck, Libs of TikTok will probably be like campaigning with Trump or whoever during the next election. So she's fine, and you know, Taylor Lorenz is fine too, despite crying, saying that she's has PTSD and is suicidal because people criticize her for her generally atrocious journalism. Anyway, that's it for this week, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you're following me on social media. I'm mostly on Instagram. UnpopularJP is the handle. Make sure you leave me more nice reviews. Sign up to the Patreon if you want to support me. If you want to support me like you support Libs of TikTok, that is patreon.com/unpopularJP. Spread the word, share the pod with friends. You know, that's the only way that I'm going to grow. I still get messages from people now that have only just found this podcast, and they're like, "Oh my god, I love your podcast. I'm so glad we have a non-woke reality podcast. Finally, where have you been? I didn't know you existed." So that's why you guys need to spread it around, because there's plenty of people that would love to listen to me, but they just don't know that I exist. Anyway, thanks, guys. Bye.